Welcome to Ask the Expert on Learn TV, the show where you can connect directly with the experts to get your questions answered live. Today, we're talking about Microsoft Certification Program, and I am Liberty Munson. I am the Microsoft Psychometrician on our Technical Certification Program. And essentially, that's a fancy way of saying I'm responsible for ensuring whatever tool or process we use to evaluate skills is valid and reliable. So at the end of the day, when you say you're Microsoft certified, it actually means something. And with me, I have Sudarshan. Sudarshan, would you introduce yourself, please?
Thank you, Liberty. Hello, everyone. My name is Sudarshan Krishnamurthy, and I am the Certification Product Manager for Microsoft Certifications. And what that means is to ensure that the certification experience that our customers and our learners have is really awesome. And we are trying to make sure that it's frictionless and you have a great experience going through a certification. So that's my role.
Awesome. So I am going to start us off with the very first question. Sudarshan, what's top of mind for you right now?
Yeah, I think Microsoft Certification Program has gone through several evolutions, as you all probably know and have been hearing. One of the things that we are really, really excited about is the experience part that I talked about initially, right? So that's really top of mind to make sure our learners have the most awesome experience as they're going through the process. There is no friction, that we are trying to reduce the friction all the time, and we want to make sure we use the latest cognitive and software technologies and deliver that awesome experience for you. So that's one of the things that we are focused on. The second thing that we focus on is to make sure that we really uphold the value of Microsoft certifications for you. So we are constantly looking at all the job roles that are out there in the industry and making sure we are building our certifications to the most compelling and most relevant job roles that are out there in the industry. And we are also trying to make sure the value of the certification is not just when you earn it, but also as you go through the process of renewing, that value continues. So we are constantly looking at all the new updates that come in the certifications on the product and then build that into certification. So that's the second part. The value piece is the second part. And then we also want to make sure we are meeting our learners wherever they are in their certification journey. So we offer a lot of good training and micro learning, bite-sized learning on our Microsoft Learn platform so that you can get prepared and then be looking at certifications as a way to assess your skills and grow your continuous learning mindset. So that's the other piece that we are focused on. So those are the top things, Liberty, as we think about Microsoft certifications.
That's awesome. That's a lot.
Yeah, I know that's a lot. So I also get a lot of questions about, for you, right? Something that I wanted to ask you, Liberty, is when you think about Microsoft certifications and the constant pace of change of technology, how do we ensure that Microsoft certifications are always relevant for our learners? So what do we do? Can you walk us through some of the things that we do?
Oh, sure. This is something that's near and dear to my heart and keeps me very busy because we are very concerned about making sure that your certifications stay relevant, that their certification is up to date. So we have a very rigorous process to ensure that we are looking at these exams and our certifications. Every 2 months, we're looking at the objective domain and we're making updates to improve those skills that are measured, make sure they stay relevant. And all of that trickles then into what is actually in the exam. So every 2 months, we have this cadence of sustainment where we're reviewing the exams. And then on top of that, every year we go back and we actually look at the job task analysis that led to the certification to make sure we're at a higher level, that we're skilling in the right areas, we have the right learning in place, we have the right certifications in place, and we make adjustments as we need to. So we are very much actively looking at each certification every 2 months, and then in a bigger way every year, and then updating and making sure that the candidates know exactly what's changing, when it's changing, and so you can always have the latest and greatest on certifications.
Yeah, that's great. Does that also explain the changes that we keep making? Because I think a lot of questions around, like, why does Microsoft change their programs and their exams quite a bit? So does that explain why that happens?
There is a lot to that. What's interesting is it's an interesting balance that we have to have in terms of keeping the program stable, but also being agile in the world of the cloud. where the technology is literally changing, you know, every week, every month. And, you know, so in some cases, maybe even daily, we're seeing changes in some of the skills that are needed for our certifications. And so how do we maintain some stability so our candidates know what to expect? They can prepare for these exams, they can get certified, but remain agile so that those certifications stay relevant and meaningful in the marketplace. It's a fine balancing act, but certainly that is going to lead to more change than what we would really find comfortable for our candidates. But it does ensure that your certification stays valid, that it is reliable, that it is measuring something that means something in the industry.
No, that's great. I think that's where the value piece also comes in, right? Because as the technologies are changing, if you're keeping yourself up to date and relevant with all the changes that are happening and your skills are up to date, then you're more marketable. And so I think that's where the value also comes from. The change is something that we have to live with, but there is a benefit to it.
So, absolutely. But you know what? That's a nice segue into a question that I have for you about cert renewal. Big announcement at Ignite. We finally launched it. Would you walk us through what this is and what it's all about? I know you spent a lot of time working on this.
Yeah, I know. It's one of the most exciting things, to be honest, in my Microsoft career, in the 2 years I've been here. It's super exciting. We are getting a lot of good feedback. Let me talk a little bit about the announcement. So what we announced at Microsoft Ignite on March 1st was a way for our certified professionals, Microsoft certified professionals, to keep their certifications active with a very, very seamless and friction-free process. It's very flexible, it's friction-free, and then you can do it at any time at no cost to you. And how this works is basically, as Liberty talked about, there's a lot of technology changes that are happening. And in order to incorporate these technology changes into the certifications, we want to make sure the skills are really relevant. We have provided our learners an option to sort of continuously learn. So they can go learn anytime they want during the course of the year. But once a year, they have to go back and take a simple renewal assessment, and that will be at their own time and pace. 6 months before the certification expires, there is this concept of an eligibility window that opens. So every 6 months before the certification expires, the eligibility window would open, and then you would go in and take that renewal assessment and pass the assessment in order to keep your certification active. No more exams that you need to take. Once you've done all the hard work in the beginning and taken those exams and got certified, all you need to do is to continue doing this renewal every year. Do your learning anytime, do your assessment at the time and pace that you would like, and voila, you can extend your certification. So that's the big announcement that we made. And our learners are very, very excited because many of them, as you know, have a lot of certifications. And when they have to keep all those certifications active, it's very difficult for them to go back and retake the exam every year. So with this method, you're actually renewing it. You're not only renewing your certifications, but you're also acquiring new skills. So that's the part that we are so excited about. And if there are further questions on the chat, we can definitely take those on as well, Liberty.
I love that. And I do know that there is one common question we get related to the cert renewal. And that's when, for people who have multiple certifications, what do you recommend for them in terms of preparing and getting all of them done? What is a good strategy for approaching someone with, in a case where someone has multiple certifications they need to renew?
Yeah, there is a blog about this topic. I mean, not specifically about this topic, but we cover that in the blog. The way I would think about it is, like, if you have multiple certifications, I would go and look at all the dates that your current certifications would expire, right? So let's just say, you know, for discussion purposes, everything expires in the same month. So what I would do is then think backwards. So if it all expires on the same month, 6 months before is when your eligibility for renewing the certification would open up. And then you would sort of stagger it, right? You probably take the first renewal in the first month. And then maybe for the second certification, you take it a couple of months later. So it doesn't matter when you take it during that 6 month window, your eligibility window that opens 6 months before, the certification will always be extended by 1 year from the current expiration dates. So given that flexibility, what I would encourage folks is to kind of plan their renewals based on the current expiration dates go look at the dates, plan it ahead, make sure you're doing the learning throughout the year, or you know, whenever you have time, because it's all micro learning. You can pick up a module, go through it quickly, make sure you're current, because Learn also has a very good way to signal what you've already completed and what's the delta. So you can just look at the delta learning and do that learning continuously, but plan your assessments depending on when your expiration dates are, and kind of stagger it. That would be my advice.
That's good advice.
Yeah. Liberty, I'm getting a question on the chat. I want to read this. So some Mohammed is asking, how do we think about hands-on experience for exams rather than, you know, testing the knowing skills? I know we've introduced performance-based testing in the last few years. So do you have any suggestions or any thoughts on how we are incorporating more hands-on experience in our exams?
This is an awesome question, because I truly think that the future of certification and the future of testing and assessment is not that multiple choice question everybody is used to seeing and thinking of when they think of about an exam. So I love this question. About 2 years ago-ish, we started implementing or introducing labs into all of our role-based certifications. So Azure Admin was like the very first one where we introduced labs. And our goal is, in fact, to have labs or some performance or hands-on assessment in all of our certifications that are role-based or specialty. Maybe even fundamentals. We can come back to that. That suggestion's probably like, what? But something to think about. But the idea is that we really want you to show that you can do versus show that you know. And so that's, the labs are really a great way to do that. With COVID, unfortunately, we had to make the hard decision to help Microsoft prioritize not only their Azure resources for first responders, but the recognition that more and more people would be sharing bandwidth at home and taking tests at home, and labs taking tests at home with that reduced bandwidth was probably not going to be that great customer experience or that great learning experience that Sudarshan talked about at the very beginning. So we made that hard decision to pull the labs. That being said, we are slowly reintroducing them back into our certification exams. And if you go and take an exam in a test center, you will start seeing labs in that experience, because we have a little more control over the bandwidth, a little more control over the experience. When you take exams at home right now, we're still not allowing labs, simply because we want to be absolutely sure that we can deliver the best experience possible. So one of the common questions I get is, well, which exams have labs? Here's what I'm going to tell you. I literally won't tell you the specific exams, and I know that's going to frustrate some of you, but the reason is this. It literally can change at a moment's notice, because we will pull those labs out if there's an Azure outage, or if we think we can't deliver them because we don't think you have the bandwidth or the infrastructure to support a good testing experience. So it really is one of those things that can literally change when you sit down and start the exam. So if I tell you there's going to be labs and then there's not a labs, and then you're all sad and frustrated and escalate and say that you didn't have the right exam. So what I would say is, prepare as if you're going to have labs, because at the end of the day, that's what our experience is going to be. And it will only set you up for success, because no matter what, you do need experience to be able to pass our exams. So go out, assume labs will be on your exam, get that practice, get that experience, and no matter what, you will be better prepared for the exam with that experience. So how do you know when you start an exam if there is a lab? We'll tell you. So there's an introduction page that walks you through exactly what to expect on your exam. And when you launch the exam, you'll be told if there's labs or if there's not labs, so you will know. But just assume going in, you're going to get them. And when you get to the lab, get to the exam, you'll find out for sure. But at the end of the day, our vision is that we're going to test you by doing rather than testing by knowing. That's the vision for our program.
Very well said, Liberty. I think to summarize what you just talked about in so much detail, is two things, right? We want to test your doing skills wherever possible, where we can deliver that awesome experience, right? Because we don't want the labs to come in the way of your experience, because if something hangs, because like what Liberty said, if the network is not, doesn't have enough bandwidth to support it, we don't want you to like have that tension and, you know, aggravation during the middle of the exam. So we want to deliver that awesome experience but at the same time incorporate your testing your doing skills. So that's a great way to put it. Thanks, Liberty. There's another question that's also come up. This is with regards to some of our legacy certifications that we've had, the MCSA D&E. We used to have a lot of like developer language related certifications like C Sharp, but what's the plan for that is a question. I mean, if you want to take it, or I can take it too, either way. That's a question that just came up.
You start and I will build on what you say.
Okay, awesome. So as far as the traditional MCSA D&E certifications, that used to be focused on specific technologies like C Sharp and .NET and developer skills and things like that. What we have done right now is to move all that over to role-based certification. So wherever those languages are relevant for the developer role, we have several role-based certifications that are in the developer space in the Azure, M365, Dynamics, all of those solution areas have developer-related job role certifications. And wherever those languages are relevant, we have incorporated those technologies into our developer job role. So since our focus is now on job role and all the skills associated with the job role, that's how we are making that switch. It's a little bit of a switch. You won't get like specific language-related certifications anymore in our portfolio. But I think it's more compelling certification portfolio because now it's directly relevant to the job roles that you're interested, leveraging those skills that you have in those languages. Anything else you want to add, Liberty?
The only thing people may not know about our program is that right now, all of the C Sharp is the big language, but we are slowly adding Python where it makes sense. So when people go and take an exam, you will be able to choose the language that you prefer. And so we're working on getting that implemented in the Azure developer, and it will be an AI engineer. So where it makes sense for us to provide that option, that language option, that's also something that will be part of the experience for the relevant certifications.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Any more questions from the audience?
There is another question from the audience I see from Mark Ingram, and he's asking if there's an appetite to consolidate the security portfolio, the MS100, AZ500 that we had or that we still have, and the new security certifications that are out there. So is there any plan to consolidate the exams as such?
So right now, there are no plans, but as I said earlier in the conversation, there is a lot of stuff that's happening in the world of the cloud. And so there may be some call for us to reconsider and reimagine what the first two certifications related to security that we launched were, the M365 Security Admin and the Azure Security Engineer. But right now, we do see these as the new security certifications that we released as being complementary to what was already in the market. Specifically, if you take a deeper dive into the first two, AZ500 and MS500, you'll see that they are really a broader than what we were focused on with the new Azure Security exam. So for example, as one very concrete example, if you look at those two first ones, AZ500 and MS500, they're composed of about 25% identity and access management objectives, but we have a whole new certification, a whole new exam that's focused solely on that. So that's kind of the way to think about them, is that the new security really do that deeper dive into critical parts of the security job roles that are available. And so we really do see that they are more complementary to what we had in market.
Yeah, no, and just to add to what Liberty said, we are constantly evaluating all these job roles, right? So we doing JTA refreshes every year, at least once a year. And when we do those evaluations, things will come up saying, okay, there is maybe an overlap between this particular certification job role and this one. Is there a possibility to consolidate? So that's when these things will happen. And you know, in the future, there may be some consolidation, but there's no plans for right now. Another question, which probably is in your wheelhouse, Liberty, and should be an interesting one, is this is the question again from Mark. He's asking if the candidates are taking the exam at test centers versus online, does that change the validity because the experience is not the same, right? One is sitting at home, the other one's at the test center. Does it change the validity?
Wow, that is a loaded question and very insightful, I have to say. This is an interesting question that we have been really focused on as an industry with the sudden surge in online proctored exams. That what's interesting is it really goes to the standardization of the experience, because we lose some of the control we have that we have from a test center when we go to online proctoring. I would argue that standardization, while important, is not critical to the validity of the certification exam. We have done a lot of data analysis to really look at if the scores are meaningfully different between whether an exam is delivered through online proctored or through test centers, and I'm not seeing much difference. The differences that I'm seeing are negligible and not such that I am concerned at all that the scores mean something different because you took the exam at home or took it online. Now, what's interesting is across the industry, every certification program, every industry is seeing some different results. So there isn't one answer that there's not one solution that is true of all programs, which I find just fascinating. And there are many different reasons why certain programs are less likely or unwilling to go to online proctoring. For Microsoft, it was really an issue of the fact that we are a cloud-based company, so people should be able to take our exams in the cloud too. It only made sense from our business and what we're trying to accomplish in that respect that we said, you know what, we're going to be the first, and we were the first big IT certification program that really doubled down on online proctoring and launched it. But it all goes back to our business model, whereas there are lots of other programs that are a little more resistant for a variety of reasons. But it's a very great question to ask right now. And there's a lot of research being done because so many more programs now have the data that they can compare test center deliveries and online proctored deliveries.
Yeah, truly. That's a really good question. And like Liberty said, it's not just IT certifications, right? We are also plugged into non-IT certifications and what's going on there, and bringing in all that research to make sure the validity is not impacted by the modality that it's being delivered on. Cool.
So I'm going to ask a question that I can't believe nobody's asked right now, but will there be any Windows Server or SQL Server certification exams?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was expecting that question too. We get that a lot. The answer is very similar to what I was mentioning earlier about the C#, right? Where we are looking at work, again, job roles, and wherever the job roles demand technologies, products to be used, we are going to use it, right, in our certification and testing those skills. So if you think about a hybrid cloud world where there is some workloads that are on-prem and some workloads that are on the cloud, that would require some amount of on-prem content to be included in our certifications. And as part of that, Windows Server, SQL Server, all of those technologies will make it into the exam, into the certification. But we are not going to create a separate Windows Server 2019 certification, right? That's not something that we are focused on. Right now, we are focused on job roles. And as part of the job roles, if the technology needs to be included, it gets included. So that's the way we look at it. So no specific Windows Server certifications in the future.
So similarly, I often get a question related to, you know, the on-prem stuff. So there's a lot of organizations out there that are still doing on-prem and are focused on the cloud. So how are we responding to those kinds of requests?
Yeah, I think we obviously, you know, there are very few just born in the cloud, an all cloud company, right? There's a lot of workloads that are still on-prem. And so we are looking at the entire customer base and people that are Microsoft partners, customers, what are the technologies that they're using and how are the skills that are needed for supporting those technologies? What are the top ones, right? So those are the job roles that we are focused on. So if something rises to the top and that happens to be an on-prem, only on-prem, then we would obviously look at the job role. So it's all about, again, what's in demand, what are the technologies, and if there is a hybrid model where it requires a lot of on-prem, like we created an Azure Stack certification recently, right? Which is something that we hadn't had before. So we are constantly, like I said, we're constantly evaluating the in-demand job roles and the workloads. And if there happens to be a lot of on-prem workloads that surface to the top, then we will look into it. But right now it's all focused on the hybrid. And therefore what you're seeing is a mix of on-prem and cloud technologies in any of these job roles that we are evaluating for a cert.
Very good answer.
All right, there's another question, Liberty, for you on the teleprompter here. And maybe we can tag team on this too. Is MS Learn sufficient to prepare for any Microsoft certification, or should we take notes, books, or refer other websites for preparation?
Oh, I love this question. So here's my mantra when it comes to this. Get training, and that training can be through Learn, ILT, whatever choice, whatever your preferred mechanism is to learn, go do it. So get training, get experience, then get certified. So the very short answer to that question is, Learn is probably not sufficient unless you already have experience to get you prepared for the exam. That at the end of the day, what a certification exam is it's an independent evaluation of your skills. So we don't care how you get those skills, just that you have them. So Learn is a great starting point. If you need a little more help and training, ILT is a really great option as well. But just figure out how to play around with the technology. If you're doing the job every day, Learn might be a great way to just kind of hone the skills that are really important for the exam. So get training, get experience, get certified. That's the three steps it takes to get to earn one of our Microsoft certifications.
Great. Yeah, and we want to make sure wherever you are in your learning journey, we want to support you, right? So like Liberty said, for some of you who are already in the job role, you already have a base set of skills and all you want to do is brush up on a few technologies, Learn may be sufficient. But if you are just trying to get that broad knowledge and you're new to the role, then probably, you know, experience and making sure that you get more training in terms of instructor-led training is a good way to prepare. So depending on your where you are in your learning journey, you have options, and you know, whatever works for you would be a good choice. There's no right answer for this question, right?
That I will mention though that the Learn content and ILT, if it's a Microsoft produced a learning solution, I guess is for a good way to capture it. We do make sure that they're all built off of the same job task analysis and that there is a prioritization of the skills that we cover in the OD. So there should be an alignment between what you are seeing in the Learn content or in your instructor-led training course that will really set you up for success for the exam. But you really do need to have that experience and deeper understanding than you may get from any one of those alone. And I will say that our certifications are very hard. I would even say they're probably some of the hardest IT certifications in the industry. And so what that really means is when you pass, you have accomplished something. This is you are really showing your skills. So remember that. It really is a true accomplishment to earn one of our certifications. And shout it out to the world when you do. You can let me know.
No, put it on LinkedIn, put it on Facebook, right? I mean, this is a call out for all of you who have certifications to go share your certifications on LinkedIn, because that's also really cool, right? I mean, bragging rights for what you've accomplished. It's a great achievement. So Liberty, we have 1 minute left. Any final thoughts before we end here?
I think this is a perfect way to end this conversation. When you earn a certification, show it off, shout it to the world. And if you ever take a beta exam, say hi, Liberty, because I read every one of those comments and they always make me smile. All right. So thanks for joining us today. Check out the link below to watch this and more episodes on demand and find out what episodes are coming up soon.
Thank you. Bye now.